morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
We got to get to a question that I haven't seen answered in any of the publications, any of the newspapers, and it might be the most important thing of all. First half yesterday, when you left the field, was that a potty break?
No, it was an equipment change.
Oh.
What happened?
What's the difference?
Yeah. No, I had my knee brace on, and on that play where I slid on the run to about the 2-yard line, my knee brace broke in half.
Oh. The smartest decision you've made in your long and illustrious career, Tom, I don't know if you've seen the video. That's the smartest decision you've ever made, because it wouldn't have been the knee brace breaking in half had you not gotten, had you stayed upright for like a half a second longer, it'd have been your whole body.
Yeah, I saw him coming. Believe me, I'm on high alert for that. Anytime I see, I mean, those are big guys, and they're running a hell of a lot faster than me. So,
and 52,
it always sucks when you're the slowest guy on the field. You know that at some point everybody's going to catch you. So. It's just a matter of time until they get to me.
I think 52 is going to keep playing this game until he can get a clean shot at you. He seems to live for it more than your average linebacker.
Yeah, well, he should. He should. I'm like one of those clay pigeons at Matt Light's celebrity shootout last week. I'm endangered.
Hey, Tom, let's get the uncomfortable hypothetical question out of the way, since it sort of ties into this. If during the course of a game, nature calls and you really got to go, do you ever leave the field and go up to the locker room? Does that happen?
I never have, but a lot of guys do. Like Troy Brown used to have to go like every game, which blows me away. I mean, I don't know how you have to go to the bathroom during the middle of the game, but you know, he would run off the field and I'd be like, where is Troy going? There he is, trying into the locker room. And then Larry is over. Another one, but he would just go on the sideline and have all the trainers, you know, put towels around him so he could go down and no one would see what's going on.
Yeah, but see,
that indicates number one, right?
Yeah, that indicates what number he was doing. Yeah. There's a story in Kansas City many, many years old that Ed Podolak resisted the call of nature and on an end around kind of jumped over a lineman who fell in front of him, got plugged to the ground and sort of...
Oh, God.
And let loose,
and then had to leave the game for a while. So, you know, it could be worse, I suppose.
I feel bad for Don Brosher and Johnny Hillenbrand, our equipment guys.
Hey, to get to the not-so-hypothetical, have you heard the comments of your former teammate and friend Rodney Harrison as they pertain to the Terrell Suggs cheap shot, the diving at your knees?
I didn't. I got plenty of texts. I wasn't watching, so you know. I guess he said something that, you know, I'm not. I got to toughen up or something like that.
Let's play it for you, and then we can ask you to respond.
Horrible call. Okay. You can't make this call. And Tom Brady, if you're listening, take off the skirt and put on some slacks. Toughen up.
Put on some slacks.
Slacks.
Rodney's been fined more than any player in the history of the NFL, so I can understand why he's a little sensitive toward cheap shots of the quarterback.
So, I mean, I don't even know what he's blaming you for. I guess you petitioned the official, you know, when you looked at him. But how is it your fault if they call a penalty?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough call, and I never think those guys are being malicious out there. I mean, they're trying to make the play and make the tackle. And, you know, it's tough for a defensive player to pull off a quarterback. You know, you're trying to get to the quarterback, and that's what your job is. That's what the team's relying on you to do. And it's a tough call for the ref. I mean, they can't judge intent, so they just judge on what happens. And it really goes both ways. I mean, we've had plenty of rough-in-the-passer quarterbacks that go against our team, and we get some sometimes. So, I think in the end they all pretty much even out, and you know, some days you're on the right side of it, and some days you're on the wrong side of it. But it's just the way the rules are.
Tom, it's probably folly for me to try to determine what was in Suggs' mind or heart watching it on television, and I'd be interested in hearing your take once you get to see it on film. But my take of it is, having watched it, that he was about to go for your legs, and this was a guy who had a change of heart almost in midstream. And my sense was it was almost as if the you know, the rule kicked in as he was about to hit you in the knee. And I'd be interested, and it seems to me that a year ago he wouldn't have pulled up. A year ago, you don't walk away from that. A year ago, he doesn't just brush by your knees. And yesterday would have might have been, you know, yet another devastating knee injury if not for the rule that's now in place.
Well, I think, you know, there's rules that are in place, and not only for quarterbacks, but they're on defenseless receivers or punters or kickers or defenders that aren't looking or chop blocks on defenders. So, you know, there's rules that are in place just for everybody's benefit. And I know the quarterbacks are the one that are singled out, but, you know, you're in a defenseless position. You're standing there in the pocket, and there's a lot of guys around you, and it's, like I said, it goes for the receivers too. I mean, they're defenseless at times as well. They're looking at the ball, and you know, and some guy comes and cleans their clock. I mean, that's just they're trying to eliminate some of that stuff. And like I said, I think you know it was. I mean, certainly not. And was it a bad hit? No way. I mean, he barely even touched me. But you know, it's just the way the refs were calling it pretty tight yesterday. And that crew has been known to call it tight. That refed our game, Coach Belichick told us before the game, they had called the most penalties in 2007. They had called the most penalties in 2008. And they were the second, they're second, you know, on pace for second, you know, this season. So we knew they were calling it tight, and it's just the way it came up.
Tom,
so
speaking of
just for the record, Tom, back to Rodney, you don't take offense to that? You're not offended? You guys are still friends?
Rodney's like my brother, man. I love Rodney, and there's nothing Rodney could ever that would bother me. He's one of my great friends and teammates, and you know, if I was a football player, I'd want to be Rodney Harrison. There is nobody that played the game like Rodney. So he played with all heart, and you know, we won two Super Bowls together, and he was, you know, a huge part of the reason why we won them. So it's fun to see him on TV. I mean, He hits as hard on TV as he did when he was playing. It's hard to believe, but he finds ways to get after everybody.
All right, Ray Lewis had a different take on it. His quote is, "Brady is good enough to make his own plays, so let him make the play. When you have two great teams that are going at it, let them go at it." Does that sit any differently with you than Rodney's comments?
No, I mean, I love Ray Lewis, and he is a great player, and he plays with all heart, and he's frustrated, and I understand why. I mean, I understand it's very frustrating, and, you know, it's not like, you know, the quarterbacks make up the rules. You know, we're out there, and, you know, I know what the rules are, and you know, it's a tough loss. It's an emotional loss, and they play so hard, and they put a lot of time and work into the week just like we do, and when you see something like that, it's hard for them to take and understand, but, you know, it's like I said, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's hard. You can say, okay, well, there are no rules, and then, you know, see how that goes. But I don't think that's why the rules are in place for reasons like yesterday.
Hey, Tom, can you take us through the touchdown pass to Moss? Because it seemed like that was a play right out of 2007 where you guys just were on the same page and in sync. Was that ball thrown just where you wanted it to go, and did he make the exact adjustment you were expecting?
Yeah, you know, they were blitzing us, so you know, Ed Reed got in there pretty quick and ended up making a pretty good play on me to kind of, you know, almost deflect the ball. So I threw it, you know, on his back shoulder, and he undercut the defensive back and made the play. And then, you know, we got to get back to more of that. We got to get back to us making those plays in the radio. There are still plays out there that yesterday that, you know, we need to do better on. You know, those real critical plays. It's just we're still working through some things on offense, and we're going to find ways to execute better, running in and throwing it. And when we do, I mean, I'll be more excited than anybody. But, you know, yesterday there were definitely some improvements, you know, and we've got to go out and get back to work on Wednesday because obviously this opponent we're facing is undefeated.
Do you feel as the weeks progress and the offense gets more and more in sync, and yesterday seemed to be a real kind of exponential leap forward, that you have a lot of options from which to, you know, a smorgasbord offensively to choose your weapons, you know, whether it's Kevin or whatever the case may be, wide receivers, whatever the case may be. It seems to me that yesterday you spread it around and you really had a good time deciding, who am I going to have make a play for me this time?
Yeah, we did. We spread it around quite a bit, and we needed to. I mean, it's a good secondary that we played with a big front and the very instinctive players out there. So, you know, you can't really say, well, this is the guy that, you know, we're going to get the ball to on this play because, you know, the defense is focused on Randy Moss and Wes Welker also. So you've got another guy to throw the ball to. And then when they finally say, okay, well, you know, we're going to take our chances and single up Randy or Wes, then you got to get them the ball. So it's a good defense. They've been one of the best defenses in the league for the last 10 years. And every time we play them, it's as tough a game as we have just because they're so well coached and they're so physical and the players are all instinctive playmakers. I mean, if you make a mistake against this defense, you know, it's a touchdown like it was yesterday. And, you know, it's just not a team you can fall asleep on for one play. You know, I thought offensively, you know, the line played great. You know, we were definitely on the same page in terms of our communication and how we wanted to block them. And the receivers, having Wes back, I mean, he's so critical to our offense. He's just, you can't replace Wes Welker. And it's only going to get better with Wes out there because, you know, how hard he works. So, you know, I think we're still hopefully at the beginning stages of what this offense can be. We just got to continue to try to execute and play better.
Hey, so when do you find out that Joey Galloway is not going to play? Is that the game time decision? And does it come as a surprise to you?
You know, it's Coach Belichick's decision, and you know, he makes the call, and he doesn't really ask anybody for input. He's, you know, it's different. You can't dress everybody for the game at times, you know, because you only have 45 guys that can dress for the game. So it's hard, I think, for the players, you know, whether it's extra defensive backs or extra receivers or running backs, that, you know, it ends up, there's tough decisions for the coach on basically who can play in the kicking game. So when Wes came back, you know, we had four receivers dressed for the game, you know, and that's just Coach Belichick's decision.
Hey, Tom, you said you saw Ray Lewis coming on that early second quarter slide. Did you see Suggs coming in the third quarter when you got hit and the ball ripped out?
No, I had my back turned. I didn't see it. I mean, he's a great player, and, you know, he obviously, you know, got a really good jump on the snap count, and he's one of the best defensive ends in the league. He's always pressuring the quarterback. We knew going into the game he's there. You know, he's their guy, and, you know, he was their franchise player last year. He signed a big deal in the offseason. I mean, he's out there for a reason. So it was a big play for them, and our defense played so well. We've had two turnovers for touchdowns this year, one on the interception to Schobel and one on, you know, on this one with Suggs, and that's very uncharacteristic of our team. So, for as well as our defense has been playing, we're, you know, the offense has given up points, which, you know, that puts our defense in a tough position. So we got to find ways to correct those things also.
Do you recall anything about that play regarding your arm and pain? I know you haven't seen the film yet, but when you look at it, just take a look at your right arm on that Suggs hit, and I am shocked that it's still attached to your body. Do you recall anything about that?
No, you know, I work pretty hard on keeping my arm really loose and my shoulder really loose, and, you know, plays like the Haynesworth play and that happened in the preseason and you know, this one yesterday. It's, you know, you got to keep that shoulder loose. You don't want, you know, tightness and being too muscular in that area just because, you know, you need it to be flexible when you take hits like that. But I honestly feel great today, man. I feel great. There's really no bumps and bruises.
Hey, Tom, out of the 35 or 37 times you dropped back yesterday, how often is Watson out in a pattern? How often is he blocking? Because, and we ask you this all the time, but he makes, yesterday makes another great catch, but he ends up with just two catches, and we always ask the same, why doesn't he make more catches? Why isn't he a bigger part of the passing game?
Yeah. Ben made, that was a great catch yesterday, Ben made on the sideline.
Sure was.
He goes out. He's out in the pattern quite a bit. I mean, he's definitely he's a receiving tight end for us, and he's so big and physical, and then he's so fast, and he's really had a great season. So, you know, that's a good question. Why isn't he getting the ball enough? You know, there's a lot of guys out there who are getting the ball, whether it's Wes or Randy, or, you know, Randy only had 3 or 4 catches yesterday, and, you know, Wes didn't have a bunch. They were just really, it's a very disciplined defense we faced, and you know, we got to find ways to get those guys the ball. I think that's what it comes down to.
Did you, how did you feel when Josh McDaniels first went to Denver? I know you're rooting for him. I know you're fond of him, but the whole thing with Cutler blew up on him, ends up with Kyle Orton, and there was a feeling going into this year, a lot of people saying it's going to be a disaster in year one for Josh McDaniels. Hell, he could lose out, and it's probably more a better record than a lot of people were expecting in his first season. I know you're happy for him, but what's gone right in your mind for him so far?
Well, he, you know, Josh is a very cerebral coach. There's nothing that gets by him. He's so patient. He's so, you know, he's a very cool kind of coach. He's a lot like Coach Belichick in that sense. He doesn't really get flustered too much. You know, he's a very quick thinker out there, and that's what makes a great head coach. You know, there's no situation that's too big for Josh. He's called plays in the biggest, you know, in Super Bowls and AFC Championship games and all through that undefeated season. So he's as prepared as you could be to be a head coach, whether, you know, no matter how young you are. I mean, which, you know, Josh was, you know, very young to be selected as a head coach, but it's, you know, his experience and what he had been through, I think Denver realized what they were getting, and they were getting someone who was, he was going to give everything he had to the team and get all those guys playing hard and on the same page. And obviously he learned from the best coach in the NFL. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, he's everything he asked for in a coach. So there'd be nothing more than I would, you know, love to give him than his first NFL loss.
Well, did you see Tony Romo last night with the game on the line, threw like 27 straight passes right at Champ Bailey? And I'm thinking,
good plan.
That's one thing I don't think Tom Brady will do.
Yeah, you know, late in the game, I was watching, and they threw those 2 slants at the end. And I'm just thinking, man, I mean, if there's one guy you really don't want to pick on, it's Champ. I can't imagine you going to the game thinking, oh, let's really go after this guy. I mean, see if he can make the plays. Kind of like Ed Reed, you know, you don't want to challenge him very often. I mean, it's because, you know, you may get one, but, you know, he's his one too. So that's what makes them great players, and that's what makes them as great a defensive players as they are, guys like Ed and Champ in the passing game. And I've had my fair share of games against Champ, and he always is disruptive, and you know, he always takes on the best receiver. I'm sure he'll be on Randy this week. And it's just, we're gonna hopefully, you know, go out there and compete as hard as we can against them.
Tom, speaking of Randy, I would need more than the fingers of both hands to count the number of times they show you and Randy talking to each other on the sideline. My sense is, correct me if I'm wrong, he seems to seek you out. You don't go looking for him. He comes and seeks you out. And can you talk to us about the gamut, you know, without giving us state secrets, what you guys are talking about? Is it always about, you know, routes? Is it always about football? Or is there a bunch of other stuff going on? Because you guys are chatting it up a lot during a game.
Yeah, we're always communicating. And I love doing that with the receivers, because there's a lot that comes up over the course of the game, and there's things that you talk about before the game that if they come up, this is what you're going to do. And then, you know, obviously things change throughout the game. So you've got to be able to make adjustments, whether it's in the call or the route or the signals. You know, and Randy's so good about that. He sees the game how a quarterback would see it. So he's able to adjust what he's doing and what his preparation was before the weekend and be able to adjust on the field. But, you know, we're always finding ways to try to do the things that we're doing better. And that's probably what's most important for us is to be able to have that relationship where, you know, when the going gets tough, I know exactly what he's doing and how he's going to do it so that, you know, you can be most efficient in that situation.
Tom, was the almost even Steven balance between passes and rushes game plan going in? Did you suspect that was going to happen, or is that something that takes shape and takes its own form during the life of the game?
Well, I think you really do what you got to do. It takes shape over the course of the game. I would love to, I think as an offense, we would love to be balanced every week. We have five basically starting running backs on our team. We have five running backs who can all run. Fred and Sammy, Benny, Kevin, and Lawrence, of course. All those guys are very talented. So, you don't want to come out of the game saying, oh, well, that guy touched it twice. Kevin Falk touching the ball two times a game. You're not going to win many games doing that. So you got to find ways to get everybody the ball. And if it's not in the passing game, you got to hand it to them. And, our offensive line, they're a physical group that loves to, mix it up with, Logan and Matt and Cope. Those guys are all so physical, and they love to mix it up with the other D-line. So, it really settles the game down. We've been pretty much way in control of the time of possession most of the season. And I think that's because we have been running the ball like we have been. So I hope it continues. And that's a nice way to play as an offense, to run it. And then when you get them all down in there, that's when you take your shots.
Tom, I could say with certainty that there's like 6 million people every Sunday screaming at their TVs or screaming at Lawrence Maroney, go north-south, go vertical. He's kind of frustrating to watch at times. Do you ever find yourself saying the same thing to him in the huddle or on the practice field? Is, stop dancing, go that way, go straight down the field?
Yeah, I think every running back has their own style, and Sammy and Fred are like downhill runners, and Lawrence is... Lawrence is a little more unpredictable as a runner. And, I've handed off to him and go, no, don't go that way. And then he breaks. I go, yeah, go that way. So there's times where, he tries to make something and it looks great. And then there's other times where, you just want him to go north and south. But he's a very talented runner. He's got great vision. He makes more of those runs than he doesn't. So you hate to change a guy's style. He's going to do what he's got to do. And he's a big part of this offense. So we got to keep finding ways to, scheme up runs to get him with a nice hole, because he's got great speed and very elusive. And we saw that when he catches the ball. He had a couple catches where he really made guys. And one got called back on a penalty, but once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a dangerous runner.
Hey, Tom, how does it make you feel when you hear Joe Flacco say that growing up as a kid, he had a Tom Brady poster on his bedroom wall?
It's pretty cool. I don't look at myself as that old. He performed the first time I saw him play, really. And I was really impressed with the way he throws the ball. He's a very accurate passer. He has a lot of velocity on the ball, and he really made some tight throws yesterday. So he's a really, for a young player, he didn't make many mistakes either. So they love him for a reason. I could see why. I'd love to say it's a bright future, but I think the future is now for him, and he's already got that team, going in the direction they want to go in.
Yeah, he had Otto Graham, Sammy Baugh, and Tom Brady on his wall when he was a little kid. You know what, Tom? I was watching him thinking he's got to be a little less
tough,
courageous back there. And I know you learned this lesson early on. Some guys learn it sooner than others. Bledsoe never seemed to learn it. You can't take every hit and live to tell about it. You got to.
That's for quarterbacks. That's for receivers. That's for running backs. At the end of the day, I always feel it's more valuable to play 16 games than to play 8 games. And if you choose to take everybody on for that extra yard, you're only going to play 8 games, because you have 250-pound linebackers that run a hell of a lot faster than we do, and they're looking to tear your head off. So, Drew was the toughest quarterback I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody stand in the pocket like him and make the throws and get hit and then come out of the game and do it again the next week and then gear up and play the next week too. So it's something that you learn that, there's that little clock in your head that says get rid of the ball because they're coming. You learn that the longer you play, obviously. I think Peyton does a great job of that. Peyton takes so few hits. When they're coming, you get rid of it, and you play the next down. And I think that's where you become most valuable to the team.
Right. Hey, Tom, since I wasn't here last Monday, I'm going to take the advantage of asking a second uncomfortable hypothetical situation. If Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, during the bye week, decides to have a team-building little thing, and they have a sprint-off, how many of the 53 guys, of the other 52 guys on the roster, do you beat in a 40-yard dash?
Well, I could beat Will Fork. I know that. And I could beat probably Ty Warren. I could beat some of the old. I could beat the old linemen.
All of them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the skill guys, I have zero shot. I think I was going to race somebody in a 40, and they were going to give me a 10-yard head start, and I think that would have been close.
How about the punter and the kicker?
Hanson, Meat's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Meat's fast, and, these are the best athletes in the world. So, I mean, I've been the slowest kid on every team I've played on since I started playing sports. So it's actually pretty cool that I'm a professional athlete and able to – You know, be able to run somewhat. That's something that I've always worked on. It's just when you're going against guys that ran track all through high school, and you're not gonna have a chance. I mean, and Randy's been the fastest kid. Randy could run track in the Olympics if he trained for it. So, you know, when you compare yourself to those guys, I mean, there's obviously zero comparison.
Could you beat Junior Seau, your newest teammate, we believe?
No, Junior should beat me.
Really?
If Junior can't beat me, Junior should stay with me.
Hey, does the atmosphere change instantly when he walks in there today or tomorrow or whenever he walks in there?
There's no player I've ever, Rodney. I mean, Rodney is incredible. Junior's a. I mean, there's no one like Junior. There's nobody like him. His attitude is everything, and what he brings in terms of his enthusiasm, his style, his commitment. It's a great presence for everybody, for all the players, for all the coaches. I mean, there's nobody that approaches the game like he does, and he's been a huge asset to our team. He's an incredible player and leader, and I think everybody's excited. Have them.
All right, well, let's get to the Renaissance Alliance Power and Cloud Quarterback Question of the Week. It comes to us from John Demling, who wants to know, Tom, as you sat on the sidelines with the Ravens driving and time expiring, what was going through your head?
Well, I was a bit nervous, and I think I was frustrated that our offense didn't do something on that drive. We had a chance to run the game out, and I think that's what I was thinking about, because I hate to obviously leave it up to anybody other than myself. But our defense, they really showed what they're all about. I mean, they made some plays. Baltimore made some great plays on that drive, and then when we really needed it, I've really been impressed with the coverage of our secondary. I mean, it feels like every time we complete the ball, someone's getting hit. So I know it's a very physically imposing secondary that we have. They're hitting people and knocking the ball out. And, it was evidenced by that fourth down play where, the guy dropped the ball. So I don't think, maybe if he doesn't get hit or Derek Mason didn't get hit, like he got hit a few times, I mean, maybe he catches that ball.
Right.
So our defense has really performed so well for these first four games. And, hopefully they're only getting better, and guys are getting healthier, and it's a long season. It's a long season, but it'd be 3-1, and we had a tough loss a couple weeks ago, and a great opportunity ahead of us this week. We're in a great position.
This is a chance to beat your third straight undefeated team, I believe.
Yeah. Tom, we'll talk to you next Monday with Coffee with the Quarterback.
All right, guys, take care. Thank you.